I hope you'll be all had a good Christmas, lots of gifts, and I hope you are not considering trying to return a few, because sometimes you get gifts you don't want, and then it's a good opportunity to just get rid of them or save them for next year. So whatever you've had, I hope you had a good rest. And you know, the last Sunday of the year is actually the easiest. It looks like the easiest, because in preaching you feel like, oh, well, you've had 51 preaches, 51 Sundays. So what else will I say? Or what else would somebody say? You've had everything. 51 Sundays in a year. So what more do you want to hear? You've had enough. Go home. You've had enough. No. And then the first Sunday of the year is also the easiest, because, like, yes, it's the first Sunday of the year. So get a new vision, New Year resolution, and all of that. But as I was just contemplating the last Sunday of the year, I just felt like God brought a fresh perspective. And I just want to share something from a passage of scriptures that you would like, if you have been to, like, let's say, an evangelistic meetings, this is a kind of message that you will hear, or this kind of passage, that's what they will most likely bring in that context. But I just sense there's something much more that God will have for us to glean from these verses of scriptures. And I want to start with a question. Have you been starstruck? Have you been in a situation where there's a celebrity that you've always wanted to meet, and then all of a sudden you are in this crowd and he's not far from you, and then you just want to touch him by all means? You know, I've seen pictures and videos of, you know, I think it was Michael Jackson many years ago, where people like falling just by touching him. I'm like, wow, this guy's anointed. What makes people like, oh, man, you see everyone on the floor. What's going on? And today, you want to look at the story of a woman who was in a crowd. And she desperately wanted to touch this celebrity, this man called Jesus. And we're going to look at how, what happened to her when she touched him. And what can we learn from this woman that will do everything to just touch him. And I hope we'll learn something from this amazing woman. As we end the year and as we look forward to a new year, how should we, when we come to this kind of space, what should be our reaction? What should we do? And so we'll be looking at Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, from verse 21 to 43. And it's a long passage, so I'm just going to start and read from it, and then we're going to pray. So Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, should come on the screen as well, from verse 21 to 43. When Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the sea. One of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, "My little daughter is dying. Come and lay your hands on her so she can get well and live." So Jesus went with him, and a large crowd was following and pressing against him. Now a woman suffering from bleeding for 12 years had endured much under many doctors. She had spent everything she had and was not helped at all. On the contrary, she became worse. Having heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his clothing. For she said, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be made well." Instantly, her flow of blood ceased, and she sensed in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Immediately, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my cloth?" His disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing against you, and yet you had the audacity, the temerity, to say, 'Who touched me?'" But he was looking around to see who had done this. And this woman, with fear and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be healed from your affliction." And while he was still speaking, people came from the synagogue leader's house and said, "Your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore?" When Jesus overheard what was said, he told the synagogue leader, "Don't be afraid. Only believe." He did not let anyone accompany him except Peter, James, and John, James' brother. They came to the leader's house and he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him, but he put them all out outside. He took the child's father, mother, and those that were with him and entered the place where the child was. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitakum," which is translated, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl got up and began to walk. She was 12 years old. At this, they were utterly astounded. Then he gave them strict orders that no one should know what about this, and told them to give us something to eat. Lord, we just thank you for this morning. Lord, as we go through this scriptures, we just ask that you will breathe upon these words, oh God, and you will give us clarity, and you just encourage our heart this morning, in Jesus' name, amen. So, I titled this, "Who Touched Me?" And if you look at my preamble, you will now understand why I made that reference when I started. And there are four things I want to really talk about very quickly this morning. And my emphasis is on this woman. But I've read the whole verses for you to see the context of what had happened. There was a man called Jairus whose daughter was dying. And he came to Jesus and said, "Look, can you please come to my house and get my daughter well?" And as Jesus was going, the Bible says that there was this woman that was in the crowd. And I want to bring four key things from my life. A troubled life. And I want to look at, where does transformation start? And then how should we respond when we are going in that journey? And then I want to end with that there's still power available today. So, a troubled life. We could see from Mark's Gospel chapter 5 that there was a woman from verse 25 that had suffered for 12 whole years. This woman had a troubled life. For 12 years, she had carried this pain. For 12 years, she was bleeding. And we are lucky in this country that we have the NHS. And we can get treatment very easily. And sadly, in most countries, they don't have the opportunity. So this woman has spent everything she had. Every single thing. She could have sold the house. She could have done everything just to get well. For 12 years, she was bleeding. Now, I'm not a woman, and I can only go by what I know in biology. But when someone bleeds for 12 years, I can imagine the stench. I can imagine the challenges. I can imagine the shame. She can't go outside. She must be like, "I'm going to bleed. What's going to happen?" For 12 years, this woman lived a troubled life. I wish I could see her and say, "How did you cope for 12 years? What happened?" Because she had spent everything she had. And you know what? The Bible says that instead of getting better, she got worse. She got worse. And for me, it kind of struck with me when I was reading this Bible verse that many would have spent all they had. I mean, how would you feel to spend everything you have and yet nothing seemed to get better? And so you can understand this woman has got to a point in her life where she's just like, you know what? I'm done. I've tried for 12 years. And for me, when you read scriptures and you see this kind of context, because sometimes the Bible could just say, Jesus healed a woman, isn't it? But the Bible gives us more information about her. And for me, it's very important that when the Bible begins to talk more about somebody's life, I think God is interested in the detail. God is interested in our story. Today, sadly, many may be going through physical pain. But we've got people in this place today that you can't sleep in a day without pain. Perhaps you have to take a tablet to even go to bed. I mean, I met a young boy a few months ago, and I was sad in my heart that this young man had to take tablet every night to sleep. Sometimes he will be awake, but 2 a.m, he can't sleep. And he's done this for years. And when I remembered him, I remembered this woman. She had spent everything. And yet this young man has spent everything just to get sleep. For most of us, we're lucky we could sleep. For some people, it's a big deal to even get a night's sleep. So you could understand and put yourself in the context of this woman. Many may be going through mental health challenges as well. You know, for years and years and years, you've struggled with your mental health as well. You've struggled. And as this woman also, you've tried everything, every single thing. You've taken different tablets, it doesn't work. So what more can I do? And this woman also was in that situation. Tried everything. And she got worse. For 12 years, she endured pain. Perhaps you're in this place for years. You haven't known the Savior. You've been away from Him. And I want to just, as you will see later in this verses, certain things began to happen to this woman. She had a troubled life. But she heard about Jesus. She heard that there's somebody in town called Jesus. And the Bible says in verse 27, so where does transformation start? My second point. She had spent everything she had. I haven't heard about Jesus. She came up behind him and touched him. For she said, if I could touch his clothes, I will be made well. For 12 years, she had carried this burden. But she heard about Jesus. And she said, wow, who is this Jesus? The Savior of the world. How God anointed him. This man is going about doing good. If I could just touch him, maybe this time around, something will happen in my life. Because for 12 years, I've carried this burden. For 12 years, I've suffered. I've spent everything. And things are getting worse. What can I do? What have I got to lose? Nothing. If I could just touch him. And the Bible says that she reached out. So transformation always starts from within. Every move of God starts within before expressed outwards. Last week when Duncan preached, he spoke about beautiful feet. And the Bible, and in one of the in Romans 10, he said, with the heart, man believeth. He said, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. You see, when we come to God, we have to believe with our heart first before we confess with our mouth. The Bible says that this woman said, that within herself, if I could touch, something will happen in my life. You see, she must have reflected on her situation. She would have said, you know what? I've carried this for 12 whole years. I've spent everything. If I can touch this man, maybe something will happen in my life. You know, Jesus said, come to me, all you are weak and heavy laden. He said, and I will give you rest. He said, cast all your cares on me, for I care for you. And my question to you this morning is, what have you carried all these years? For 12 years, this woman carried something. For 12 months, what has been the challenges you have faced? For this number of years you spent, what have you carried? Perhaps you've carried a lot of unforgiveness, a lot of bitterness towards somebody. And for me, it is interesting that if you check some Bible translation, the Bible calls what she had an issue of blood. And for me, it's very important. That why would the Bible be so emphatic about what she had? She had an issue with her blood. And perhaps you have an issue with your health today. Perhaps you have an issue with somebody. Yours may not be an issue of blood. Yours may be something else. What issues have you had in your life? This woman got to a point where she felt, I cannot carry this anymore. Something has got to happen. And will you be like this woman this morning and lay everything down at the feet of Jesus? So take my yoke upon you, excuse me, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. Lives are still being touched by Jesus today. And I want to urge you this morning that just as this woman got to a point in her life and said, I cannot take this anymore, there's something much more. And she had an encounter with Jesus. And this transformation that we are talking about is backed by corresponding action. Can you imagine, for 12 years, this woman must be weak. Because somebody who is bleeding cannot have enough strength. She must have been like, and she must have reached out with everything she had just to touch. Look, friends, our God is real. Our God changes lives. He still has the power today to do the impossible. When I read scriptures, I ask myself, are this thing real today? Am I just reading what had been done? Is it possible to experience a touch from him that our lives will never be the same? See, this woman had an action. She reached out to God. Say, if I can touch him, something will happen in my life. In James 1, 6 to 8. You know, let me just read James 1, 6 to 8 to you very quickly. It says, but let him act in faith without doubting. For the doubter is like the surging sea, driven and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord, being double-minded and unstable in all his ways. This woman was resolute that, look, I have suffered enough. I'm no longer going to suffer again. And look, this morning when I was praying, I said, if there's someone in this place who has carried pain for a long time, and I am like, if I had that person to come out and we pray for that person, what's the guarantee that something will happen? How am I so certain that Jesus, who did this many years ago, is able to take pain from another person? And my answer is, why not? What have I got to lose? What have you got to lose? Nothing. The worst that will happen is nothing will happen. That's the worst that will happen. That will pray for somebody and nothing will happen. It's not my fault. He takes the glory. He is the healer. He is the one that does the impossible. Not me, not us. But we read the scriptures and we say within ourselves that it is still possible in our day for a miracle like this to happen. Because how do I know? And my last point is when she touched him, the Bible says something that struck me. In verse 30, Jesus realized that power had gone out of him. So this woman touched something, but Jesus says that something left him. The Bible says that, and Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. And he turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched me?" What a question to ask a lot of people. Can you imagine? People were thronging Jesus and somebody touched him. And then the question he asked was, "Who touched me?" What a question to ask people. Can you imagine? Like, you have like, I mean, we know a lot. Can you imagine? Like, everybody's crowding around us now. And all of a sudden, "Oh, who touched me? Who touched me? Who touched me?" What would you say? "Hey, are you crazy? A lot of people around you, and you're asking what a dumb question. Who touched you?" But in that same time, Jesus realized that the woman had touched him by faith. Jesus realized that this woman was not just part of the crowd. Friends, do you just come to church? When was the last time you had a touch from God? Today, in most churches, many will gather. But what will happen when we leave today? Do we leave the same way we came? We don't want to come to church every Sunday because we have to. But we come because there's something much more. There's a touch available. There's a touch available. There's something much more that is available. And this woman reached out and touched him. And her life was never the same. And this power is available today. The Bible says that Christ is the power and the wisdom of God. When this woman touched him, power left him. But there was enough power to still go to Jairus' daughter and to raise her from the dead. So when this happened to this woman, it wasn't like, "Oh, Jesus said, oh, you know what? Jairus, look, I'm so sorry, Jairus, because this woman has stolen all my power. So Jairus, please, I'm so, so sorry. You need to go home now because there's no more power available." But there was enough available to even raise the dead. Friends, we have a God whose power is unlimited. The power to save. But beyond the power to save, there's so much more in him. There's so much more in him. And I want to charge us this morning that we cannot afford to be complacent. We can't be like the crowd. They're close to Jesus, but they're far from him. They're close to Jesus, but there was no evidence in their lives. But this woman touched something. She touched the intangible, the power of God. Oh, how I long in my life that I would touch something. Something much more, something deeper. Something that I cannot just comprehend with my mind. What was she looking for? A touch from heaven. If you're a Christian, you've been touched by God because you're saved. But there's something much more than that. Something much more. I'm tired of doing church every Sunday. Many thronged him. But this woman left with something. My question to you this morning, when you come to church, what do you leave with? Do you leave the same? When was the last time you felt like, you know what? Oh, I've had an encounter today. Something happened. Something happened. Who touched me? And he was looking around. And I sense God is looking around in this place this morning. Who has God got this morning to say, Lord, I'm going to reach out to you. Who is sick this morning? And we say, I'm tired of this pain. Who has carried on forgiveness in their heart? And we say, Lord, I'm going to release this person today. I'm going to reach out. I'm going to release everything. Because this woman released her pain to Jesus. And her life was never the same. She became a witness. She left a different person. And guess what? The disciples were there. The multitudes were there. But this one woman, after 12 years of suffering, felt like, no more. I do not carry this anymore. Friends, we're going to a new year as well. What would you say I'm going to do differently next year? You say, I'm not going to carry this anymore. No, I've suffered enough. No. I'm not. And sometimes when Jeff came forward and shared his story, it's so remarkable because God speaks to us through stories. And I'm not going to give you the full detail, but there was a time in my life as well where I was very sick. And I got to a point I said, no more. I said, if I'm going to fall, let me fall. If I'm going to, it got to a point literally, I remember I was walking in Portsmouth. My phone is gone out now. I was walking in Portsmouth and I literally fell down in the town center. Because I had some inflammation and it was very painful. And one day I said, I'm going to walk from here to there. I don't care what's going to happen. But you know, I fell many times. And people were looking at me. What's going on? What is wrong with this guy? I said, no. I'm going to use this leg today. I don't care what's going to happen. People were like, wow, this guy's crazy. And I kept falling. But you know what? I made it to the end. And today I stand before you as a testimony of God's faithfulness. That if you don't reach out to him, sometimes nothing happens. Nothing happens. I will never forget that day in my life. Never, ever forget. So today, I just want to encourage somebody that we pray for people. Yeah, we do. But sometimes you must get to a point in your life, you say, you know what? No. I've had enough of this unforgiveness. No. I'm going to call this person today, right now. I'm going to tell them, look, yeah, hello, I love you. I'm going to text that person and say, you know what? Yeah, it's been rough for the last few years. I'm going to say to them, you know what? Clean slate next year. Let's start. You know what? I have suffered. I've gone through this cycle upon cycle upon cycle. And guess what? When I was still taking my drugs, so don't get me wrong. So I'm not saying that, like, let's say if you're suffering, you know, from something. I'm not saying just drop everything. But honestly, guys, we sometimes get to a point in our life, we say, no, I'm not having this anymore. I'm not. Because this woman has suffered for 12 years. 12 years she has spent everything. And there was no cure. And she heard about Jesus. And she said, ah, oh my word, I am weak. I am tired. I don't care. I'm going to touch him. And if I can touch him, I will be made whole. And she did. And her life was never the same. There were a lot of crowds there. Friends, we are gathered here. When Jeff shared his testimony, he was talking. Let me just read out. You know, there was something Jeff said. And I just want to read it to you. He said, you're not alone. I am with you every step of the way. And he said, who feels alone or feels lonely? And you know, guess what? There are different seats here. And God is saying to you, I have a lot of crowd in this place. I have a lot of people in this place. But who is going to reach out to me this morning and say, Lord, if I can but just touch the hem of his garment. But what does that mean in our world today? It means coming out in faith. Saying, Lord, I've carried this burden for too long. I drop it now today. It's saying, I haven't been a Christian for a long time. I haven't been a Christian at all. I've left. I don't want to be associated with Christianity. But today, I'm going to reach out to Jesus. And he's going to welcome me home. It's like saying again that, Lord, I am saved, but I need another touch from you this morning. So wherever you are, whatever it is, your situation this morning, let's reach out to him for another touch. Can I just invite the band? We'll just play some instrumental. I think we'll play... And what I want us to do, we've got a few minutes, is if you're in this place, and like I said, I'm not, Jesus is the healer. You, I've got pain. It can be physical pain, it can be any kind of pain this morning. You struggle to sleep, whatever it is that you struggle with, let's touch him this morning. Why not? Let's touch him. His power is available. It's not national grid. That power is unlimited. We can draw. Do you know what happened? When that thing happened, the Bible says that Jesus felt something. You know, this woman drills, you know, it's like drawing power. And then we speak to Simon. He can talk more about, you know, drawing power. You know, this woman drew power. She drew something. She drew something. Friends, let us pray. Look, in heaven, there's so much power there. Do you know, God does not need this power in heaven. He doesn't need this power in heaven. He needs it here. Because, okay, who is God going to brag to in heaven? Who is he going to brag to in heaven? Oh, I'm so powerful. Look at how powerful I am. No. He brags about his power here. Because when men come here and they see his power, then he takes the glory. That is what he wants to do. So Jesus brags about his power on her.